And I didn't, and it was given to me really quickly, and I don't want to give it to you. so if you thought I was being rude, then I wasn't. I just, I was in a room with somebody, and they said, I got a cold. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I ain't been sick in forever. And my throat started getting sore. And the next thing you know, I've got a full-on head cold. I'll give y'all an update on my dad. Yesterday was a really hard day. I didn't think we were going to make it through the day with him. And then today, and the reason I'm telling y'all that is for today. Today, my brother calls me, and he says, you're not going to believe this. He's with hospice. They moved him over to a house in Etowah, and they're taking care of him, and he's just alert and wide open today. Like, you know, and it's a lot different what you think. But they had to move him at one point across the bed, and he was recognizing people and doing stuff. And my brother, they said, you get him by the shoulder, and give him a shoulder. And my brother pulled him, and when he did, my dad goes, ah! And Ron's like, and all of a sudden he goes, and laughed at him. And he said, oh, you think that's funny? And they said he laughed for like 3 minutes straight, just messing with him. So my dad still got that for him, so that's pretty cool. So you need that too in this deal. So I just want to share that with you. Keep praying for mercy and grace, and God is showing us plenty of mercy and grace in this. It comes in waves, but the greatest thing that I know is my dad saved. God woke me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning, another morning, and gave me three things about my dad, just spoke right to me, and I was just like, and he said, write these things down. And I wrote them down, and it was just as clear as a bell. And God's like, don't worry about your dad. I love him. He's going to be all right. So I'm like, okay. So anyway, the message tonight is, I was in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I was getting ready for this message tonight throughout the week, and I was going to go and I was going to get a supplement to this message. Like, it was going to go with this message, and it was from James chapter 5. Well, then I got to reading James chapter 5 and trying to supplement it in there, and then realized that James chapter 5 became the message, and Thessalonians was the vehicle to get us over there. And you're sitting here tonight going, why are you telling me that? I don't know. Some nights I get in this weird thing. Sometimes I want y'all to know kind of how this happens, you know. I want you to understand how messages come about, how I get them, how they're processed, and you'll think there's some kind of, you know, we're sitting in some lab and we're doing all this. It's literally just little nudges and pushes and places that God sends you, and it's like you're picking out flowers out of a bunch of flowers, and all of a sudden one will stand up above all the other ones, and it'll be like, that's it, right? So I was reading this, and in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I know you don't have to go there. I'm going to James chapter 5. It says, pray without ceasing. Our church this Sunday we're going to embark on a journey of praying before our morning service on Sunday. And you said, why did you pick just the morning service on Sunday? Shouldn't we pray before every service? I believe we will. But we got to start somewhere. And we already have two prayer rooms that are praying, and they're doing amazing stuff. And that's not that we're just going to supplement them. We're going to add to that, okay? So at 9:45, they're in here praying. They're in there praying. So that's always been going on. But what we're going to do is we're going to have some specific prayers starting at about 7 o'clock Sunday morning. And somebody's going to text somebody, and they're going to start praying from 7 to 8, from 8 to 9, and 9 to 10. And what they're going to be praying, and that doesn't mean you have to get in one room and sit there and pray for a solid hour. That means you make a focused attempt at praying for these things. One's going to be healing, mind, body, and spirit in this church. I want people to come to our church and they leave here and go, man, I feel better mentally, spiritually, physically. Amen? We're going to pray for worship. Not just worship, but worship that is effective. We're going to pray for effective preaching and teaching, right? And then we're going to pray that when God deals with people, they respond. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and then from 8 to 9, that night, that person will text. Hopefully they'll text. Sorry, it's a personal thing. If they call, but you'll about 10 minutes till that hour, and they'll pray for their hour. And then when we get to church, this church service will be prayed over. And you say, what? Why are we doing? I believe that God wants to do more for this church. The Lord is doing great things at our church, but a lot of the stuff is happening because we're making choices and making decisions, and we're doing good at it. But God's great at it. And if we get Him involved, at first and in the middle and at the end, the devil's going to wreak havoc because he hates when you talk to God and get his approval and his ideas and his thoughts. But then all of a sudden, can I say this? I hope y'all don't get mad at me. But all heck can and will break loose. Ever since I mentioned this, three terrible things have happened for me, right? But guess what? All heaven will break loose too. And I'm willing to wage that kind of war. That we can see all heck break loose, but then all of a sudden God say, all right, since they're involved. And you never really know you're in a battle until you're in a fight. You know you're fighting for it. Okay, y'all good? Y'all good? Hopefully I'm not rambling. Pray without ceasing. And you know Paul didn't mean you just, and everybody's going to be arguing with me, oh, God, I got to pray. No, listen, pray then. Pray fervently. Pray when somebody asks you. Pray when it's on your heart. Pray. You know what I'm saying? And listen, you don't always have to go in the closet. It's great if you do. You don't always have to get on your knees. It's great when you do. But listen, if you'll pray when God puts it on your heart or when the need is there, you'll see great things happen. A lot of times somebody will say, will you pray for me? And we walk away and we forget. And life catches up, and we forgot to pray for those people. Amen? The best thing we can do is fervently pray when it's time to pray. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where we got this. And God flipped me over to James chapter 5, and then I started reading this whole chapter, and I thought I was going to get 13 to about 17, but then all of a sudden God showed me something in verse 7. So let's jump in here. Y'all ready to jump in? It's going to be kind of disconnected, but you're going to get a lot of information tonight. Hopefully you'll walk away here better than you came in. Be patient. Oh, gosh. Underline that one. No, I'm just kidding. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he receiveth the earthly and latter rain. Listen, what they're saying, what's saying right here is be patient for God. He's being patient for you. Whew. Man, I want to preach there for an hour. Be patient for God. He's being patient for you. God wanted to come and get you the moment you got saved. He wanted to come. He wants to rescue the church. He wants to come. Nobody likes to see their bride being punished and going through hard times. But he wants as many people to come to the Lord as possible. Amen? He's got a plan. So it's impatient. Sometimes in this life, your faith's going to be shook. Your hope's going to be shook. Everything's going to be shook. And you still got to trust in God and be patient. Amen? And I know when I say that, every time I say that word, you're sitting there going, patience. You don't have to pray for it. It's coming. Amen? It's an install. It's a download. Amen? When you got saved, you're getting patience, whether you pray for them or not. Amen? And patience comes usually with trials and tribulation and heartache and pain and trouble. Amen? Some of y'all can say amen already. You've been through those. All right? But guess what? They make you better. Amen? They let you see God on a whole different level. But just know that he's not just up there in heaven going, man, I got there. You know, I'll get there. Don't worry. No, he's as upset. He's worried more than you are. He's sending more strength than you can ever imagine. Amen? If you'll look and pray and seek the Holy Spirit, you'll see that God's in this. Amen? He'll give you strength that you didn't even know you had. He'll give you wisdom that you didn't know you had, ability that you know you had. There's some people in this room been through some stuff, amen, that you thought, well, man, I'll crumble under that kind of weight, and you didn't crumble. You got stronger, amen? Good? Make sense? All right. Listen, he waiteth patiently for you. Verse 8, be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We're closer than we've ever been. Verse 9 is very important. I'm going to stay here for just a second and preach this because it's important. Hopefully some people in this church will get a hold of this, but also some people will go back and listen to it on the recording. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. God's coming back at any moment. I wanted to preach this when I studied this out. This is kind of where some of the places that God took us here instead of in Thessalonians. If your biggest problems are in the house of God with God's people, you're not doing the right thing for God. Whew. You're going to hate me or love me on that deal right there. All right? I hope y'all get this. Here's what I want you to see. If you're in your car or at your house, or wherever you're at outside of this church, and the biggest problem you have is sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, you're going in the wrong direction. You're fighting the wrong battle. Amen? You need to get focused on what God would have you to do solely. Focus on that and go after that with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole soul. And your focus will leave brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. Amen? And then you'll be healthier. The devil loves it when we're hating one another. Amen? He loves it when we're grudging one another. Amen? We're groaning and complaining about one another. And it's easy to do in church because we all come in here and we look at each other and so-and-so. You know, but if you'll get busy serving God and get busy doing your calling and get busy doing, I mean, exactly what God would have you to do, you'll all of a sudden, you'll be running a race. You'll be running. Have you ever run a foot race? Betsy, have you run a foot race? You ever run a foot race? Remember back in school when they had you put your hand on the wall and they said run to the other end? Y'all remember that? They say, on your mark, get set, go, right? I can tell you this without a shadow of a doubt. I wasn't one of the fastest kids in school. When I was running, though, I didn't know what anybody else was doing. Amen? I didn't know what the person to my right or my left, the person way down there, or the person over there. All I cared about was getting to the other end, touching that wall, and getting back and beating everybody if I could, right? And we'd all get back and we'd hit the wall, and we'd turn around. Who won, right? That's how you're supposed to run for God, too. Amen? He is the author and finisher of your faith. You're supposed to focus on Him. You're supposed to run to Him, run for Him. And guess what? You don't get to worry about what everybody on the outside of you is doing. Amen? You get to encourage them. Come on, run fast, do whatever. But you don't get to get mad at them because they're running your race, and you're running your race, and they're running their race. Amen. Does that make sense to you? I had to break it all the way down to elementary school running. I guess those were the funnest days of my life, too. All right. Listen, okay, verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. There it is again. Do you see it again? That overwhelming, I think that's about the fourth time, maybe fifth. No, it's the fourth time. Verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. And the Lord is very pitiful and in tender mercy. Amen. I love this right here. He's wanting us to focus on to have patience. Amen. To go through this, it mentions it five times in these verses that we've read about patience. And he was talking about, when he talked about the prophets prophesying and doing what they were doing that without the full knowledge and visit and seeing Jesus. They were on that side of Calvary. They were on that side of the cross. Amen? They believed, they trusted God, but they had not seen or heard. We're on this side of Calvary. Listen, I hope y'all get this. The prophets preached about Jesus coming and dying, but they had not seen it. They only had a vision of it. We know it happened. Amen? Well, you should have more patience than they did because you have physical proof. They were saying God will come, God will die, God will be raised again. He did come, He did die, He is raised again. So on this side, we should be able to say, we got some proof. God, I hope y'all, I want to get happy right here. Hey, that God did half of what He said He was going to do. The prophets, but we seen half of it. They didn't get to see half of it. We're going to get to see all of it. God's coming back. Amen? He said, just be patient. Man, five times, be patient. And I was sitting here all night wrestling around, and when I was really putting this thing together, I'm thinking, well, do I need to preach this whole chapter? Because sometimes I'm thinking, man, I'll just get wound up and I won't get to where I want to go. But for five times, have you ever, I know y'all said this, or some of you said this in here, when we talk about patience, we kind of shy away from it or we're kind of scared of it. But I think God answers, how do you deal with when God's trying to give you patience and what it takes? Amen? Let's see how we deal with it. How about this? Watch this. You'll see it as it unfolds after verse 10.
No, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard. No, I mean, verse 12. Sorry. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, or your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Verse 12 is kind of disjointed. When I was reading, I'm sitting there going, why is that in here? I mean, it's like James threw a little. It's like the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's kind of like he plugged something in. In his day, it was important. The ones that were not going to follow Jesus, all the very cultish type groups, they would say, take an oath with me. That we're never going to do this, or we're never going to do that, or you can't leave unless you take the oath. So take an oath, right? What James is saying is you don't have to take an oath when you're following Jesus. Believers will do what they say they'll do, and they'll not do what they say they won't do. Amen? And that's what he's wanting you to say. And that's where we want to be as Christians. Let your yea be yea, and let your nay be nay. Don't when you say, hey, I'll be there, I'll do it, I'm a part of it, you're in. When I'm not a part of that, won't be there, don't count on me. Not going to be there, right? Does that make sense? That let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And you don't have to swear an oath. You ain't got to do some kind of weird ceremony. You don't have to do, and that's the beautiful thing about Christ. It's in him and him alone. When the weirder things get, you have to be baptized by these people. You got to do this. You got to go through this ceremony. No, no, and no. You got to believe in Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. Repent. Let him be the Lord of your life. Amen? God, what? Man, I just preached a whole lot of freedom to you. Amen? I love church. I love being a part of church. But guess what? I love being a part of Jesus Christ more than anything else. Amen? You can have weird church all by yourself, but guess what? If you were stuck on a desert island all by yourself, you could have the church of four. Amen? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. Amen? I just came up with that last thing, so y'all, that's pretty cool. Could y'all tell when I was working the math out from Polk County? 1, 2, 3, and 4. Y'all got to laugh with me. It's good. All right. All right, verse 12, we got to that. Listen, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Did y'all see that? Is anybody afflicted? Let him pray. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Okay, so there's the first thing. Let him pray. Is there anybody afflicted? Do you know we're supposed to be praying for the sick? We're supposed to be praying for one another. Amen? We are. We're supposed to be praying for each other. We're supposed to be praying that this place is a healing place. Now, don't get me all twisted. Well, golly, is everybody going to get, I don't know. But we're supposed to. We're supposed to. We're supposed to be praying for healing. We're supposed to be praying for that. Is any afflicted? Let them pray. And guess who? Can I preach to you just for a minute? Can y'all handle this kind of preaching? I want you to get this. You don't have to have anybody special to pray for you. You can pray for yourself. Amen? That's the great thing. I wish I would get a hold of this because I want to get a hold of it all the time. I don't have to wait on anybody to show up. The high priest ain't got to get there. Amen? The temple was rent to give me an opportunity where I can go into the holiest of holies. It's great if you show up. It's great if I'm there. But if I can't, have the meeting with you and God. Clear the room, clear the floor, get to business with God. Lay hands on yourself. Golly bum. Hey, when you get desperate, nobody will pray for you like you will. Amen? Have you ever been that desperate? I've got desperate a couple times. Roll over against the wall and forget all the pleasantries. Oh, God, here I am. Right? Oh, God, here I am. Got excited and started preaching. If I pass out, do this. Whew. No, a second. Behold. No. Where are we at? Verse 13, thank you. If any of you be afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Y'all good? If you're afflicted, pray. If you're well, praise, sing. Amen? Sing, praise. Both of them are as equally as important. Both of them are equally as important. Your praise and your prayer should be equal. Amen? sometimes we think one's more important. I have a hard time right here, and I'm going to be really honest with you. I have a hard time right here because I'm not a big singer. I like music, but I'm not a big singer. So I have to get engaged, right? But, man, that is not an excuse. Because sometimes you got to pray. When you're well, you better praise. Amen? It should be equal to. Because if the only time God hears from you is when you're on the low side, guess where you will remain? Yeah. So we got to get used to, when we're on the high side of it, praise God. Amen? Praising Him. Amen? Verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. This is in James. This is in your Bible. This is not something I made up. It's not crazy talk. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let me show you this. Let him pray. If anybody's sick, let him pray. That's two. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Right? Look at that. Ain't that amazing? Prayer. The prayer of faith. Verse 16. This is where we struggle in the church immensely. I don't know where church got this. I don't know where in modern church this started taking place, but this is awful. This is what's hindering most churches. Confess your faults one to another. We don't do that. We are scared to death to share a real fault. We'll share vague faults. We'll share stuff that everybody, but we have problems sharing with the body of Christ. Confess your faults one another and pray. Do you want to say it? Confess your faults and where do you take the fault? To God. It ain't to talk about. It's not to conversate about. It's not to fix. Hallelujah. It's not for you to think, well, what do I got to do now? It's for you to pray about. It's for you and that person to pray about. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer, hot, fiery prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does that mean, availeth much? It opens up everything. Healing in different areas, in mental, physical, emotional, amen? Let you see ways out. Let you see things. Get you introduced to people. All of a sudden, if you keep praying, God works on so many levels. He's not just a one-trick pony God. He can do a lot of different things. When you get Him involved, you'll just all of a sudden, oh, I ran into somebody who's got some wisdom in that area. Oh, I ran into somebody who does that. Oh, I ran into somebody. You understand what I'm saying? It's amazing. But I want to get back to that. I don't want y'all to walk out of here. This is where the church is supposed to be like a hospital. You wouldn't go to a hospital and show up at the ER or a regular visit and you put on the gown and everything. And the doctor comes in and says, what's going on with you? And you go, nothing. Just thought I'd come by. Right? Just thought I would come dress this way and sit in this place where healing takes place and tell you that everything's okay. Now, if everything is okay, then you should be singing and you should be praising and you should be helping other people. Amen? So don't give me that. You should be here anyway and helping other people. But if you're hurting, you shouldn't sit on these pews and keep hurting and hurting and hurting with stuff that's killing you and you can't tell nobody because people will think, well, I'm not perfect. Well, guess what? We none of us are. We lost that a long time ago. So guess what? You got to be able to, if we get into a place where if you say, man, well, I just can't believe that. You know who's in more danger there? Not the person who's asking for help in a tough area. Not the person that's praying. It's the people who are saying, I can't believe that's going on. Because to be honest with you, it'll probably be going on with them not too long from now. Amen. Amen. Verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. That's the fifth time he mentions that. Earnestly, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. You know what? I love what he said right there. He said he is a man with like passions. He was just like you. Man, I find that hard to believe. I have read the Bible. Amen? How can Elijah be just like me? He was a superhero in faith. He's a big guy. Nope. In God's eyes, he was just like you. He was just like me. Guess what? He had some moments. Whew, hallelujah. He had some moments where God showed out through him to glorify God. But when those things happened, he would still come back to a place of guess what? Some fear, some anxiety, some trouble, some heartache, some worrying. What are you going to do, God? How are you going to get me out of that same stuff you do? Ain't that neat? And what he said is he prayed. Amen? I hope y'all get this. In this chapter that I've read to you tonight, five times it said patience. And then it said seven times prayer. If you want to go through your trial of patience, you better go through it with a mixture of prayer. Because patience is coming. And you'll be able to stand it and be better on the other end of it if you're praying through the mix. Amen? Ain't that neat how that's in there? I'm sitting there looking at that and I'm like, my goodness, God has just wrapped all this in there. And he starts off this chapter with saying, if you're going through a lot of stuff and it seems like God's working patience out in your life, then you better get busy praying. Because you're not going to be able to go through it just by making decisions and choices for yourself. You've got to get God involved. You've got to talk to him. Not only you've got to talk to him, but you've got to talk to other believers. And you all got to talk to him. Amen? There's not many people I've never heard that if everybody's praying, that you this week, I could tell you, since Sunday, I can tell you could just feel, you can feel prayer. And then you can tell when there's not prayer. Amen? And it's not a knock, it's just you can just tell when people really start leaning into prayer and there's a lot of people praying. So guess what? We're going to start to being a praying church. We are broken people, saved by grace, saved by the mercy of God. We're going to be praying for people, and I want to see God work in amazing ways. I want him to do stuff. When people walk out of this church, they go, I don't know what, I don't know why, and I don't know how, but we got to keep going back there because God's there. Amen? And that's ushering in his presence with prayer. That's praying for hurting people. Amen? And that's praying for one another. That's for praying for one another. Amen? It's also confessing your faults one time. Let's all stand.